I'm very, very excited to have Pastor Bob Wilhite with us this morning, and he's going to be with us for several months, and boy, am I thankful. I really feel like he is. Amen. I know he's answering the call of God, and I'm looking so forward to sitting with him and learning from him and listening to him and for the next few months, and you just don't know how blessed we are. And so let's us all give a big welcome to Pastor Bob Wilhite. Give him a welcome as he comes this morning.
And I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here. Glad you're
here. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise because you're the one that deserves it. I thank you for the people of this house. These are your children, Lord. They belong to you, every one of them, and they're all important. Important to you, Lord, and important to the kingdom. And I thank you for the privilege and opportunity of being able to receive from them and to share with them things that you've taught all of us. We need each other, Lord, now more than ever before. We need each other, but more than we need each other, and as we need each other, we need you. Because it really is all about you. It is all about you, Lord. It's not about us. It's about you. And our whole heart's desire is to lift up Jesus, to exalt the King, and to submit to the will of the Father. And we're believing, Lord, that you're going to make this a great time in these days and weeks and the time we have together here in this place. Thank you. Let's say thank you real loud to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're the one that's worthy to be praised. Amen, 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 amen. Yes, give him praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless your heart. I know some of you may be wondering in your mind about a lot of things. Let me encourage you to do something right now. I don't have all the answers. In fact, I don't have very many answers to anything. As the older I get, the less I know, it seems to me. I'm not sure about things that one time I was very certain about. But I'm not at all sure today. You know, when you look at an old gray-headed man, sometimes you might think he's smart or he has a lot of wisdom. He just has a lot of experience, that's all. I have a lot of experience, but I don't know how much wisdom I have. But I know he has wisdom. And if I can stay in contact with him, if I can just stay in contact with him, and you can stay in contact with him, everything's going to be all right. Going to be all right. Let's say it. It's going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right if we can just keep our eyes on him. I think that's what we better do. Let's just sing that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Is Tim around here anywhere? Where did Tim go? Tim, come and sing that for us. Come and let's turn our eyes on Jesus right now. Don't you think that's a good thing to do? Amen. Let's just look to him. Let's see what he's going to. I think we ought to stand up and kind of look up to the Lord. We're looking up to the Lord right now. Turn your eyes on Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things in the light of his glory and grace. in the light of His glory and grace.
You know where you're going to see Him? It's not when you look up. It's when you look right into the eyes of someone who knows Him. Because that's where He lives. He lives in us. He lives right in here. Amen. I want you to look somebody right in the eyes and say, I see Jesus. I see Jesus in you. That's where I see Him. I see Him. I see Him in you, Pastor Roy. I see Jesus in you. Hallelujah. That's where He is. Pastor Parkey, that's where He is. I see Jesus in you. Hallelujah. I see Him in the eyes. This morning I was looking, I was observing. I thought, I see Him in Brother Billy's eyes. I see Him there. I see Him in Brother Andy's eyes. Every time I come here, I see Him in Brother Andy's eyes. He's always that same spot. He's always just looking right up there, just a humble man of God, just here to serve the Lord. I see Him in Brother Frank when he came along a while ago. I see him in Brother Tim. I see Him in the man over here. I don't know his name, but I see Jesus. Jim? James. Amen. See, I don't know that man's name, but I can see Jesus. I can see Jesus. I can see Jesus. Hallelujah. I see Him. And it's all about Him. Hallelujah. That He can reveal Himself through these faulty vessels. Hallelujah. That He can reveal Himself through us. Amen. Got to get our eyes off the warts. Got to get our eyes off these things that distract us. Just keep our eyes on Jesus. Got my eyes on Him. Have you? Hallelujah. Be seated. Glory to God. Thank you, Brother James, for knowing that song. See, some of those old ones we kind of forget after a while if we don't sing them occasionally. Sometimes I just want to sing, what a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. I want to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Sometimes I want to sing, how about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. It's not what people see. It's what He sees. Amen. Well, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. I want to make a special announcement. I know that I don't know anything except what He has taught me. Amen. And I know that there's a day, and we're in that day right now, when we need to hear from God. And to do that, I don't know how to do that other than I don't hear Him well except in the place of prayer. I've got to get a word from God in the place of prayer. I want to make this announcement. I'm going to be here praying at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Anybody wants to join me, I welcome you. But I'm going to be praying right here at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning. Then the Sabbath day is Saturday. I'm going to rest on the Saturday. But then I'm going to pray again on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. We're going to do that right here, early morning prayer. And you're welcome. Amen. That don't make you a super saint. Amen. If you think it does, may as well stay home. Won't help you. But we got to hear from God, haven't we? We got to hear from the Lord. And I found that when we come together. And some of you can't do that because you've got schedules that will not permit you to be in a 6 o'clock prayer meeting. But nobody is excused because of laziness. You're not excused simply if you're lazy or don't like to get up early. That's not an excuse. But if you've got a job or something or business that takes you out, you're excused. Everything's all right. But if you can be here, I want you to be here with me. I'll teach about 10 to 15 minutes. I'll do a little teaching on prayer. But a school of prayer where you learn to pray by praying. You don't learn to pray by talking about it. You learn to pray by praying. So that's what we're going to do, because we're in a time that is a little different and things are changing right now. And nobody likes change. My wife hates it worse than anyone. She doesn't like to change anything. Wants it just exactly the way it's always been. But sometimes the Lord does a new thing. Yeah. When they marched around the walls of Jericho, that was a new thing. Never done that before in their life. Some of them said, "I just don't know about that. I just don't know about this. This is totally different. God never has said anything like this before." Don't matter whether he did before or not. We got to hear him for now. Yes. Pastor Parkey said a while ago, God's going to do a new thing. He didn't know it, but he was being prophetic using the prophecy of Isaiah. God's going to do a new thing around. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be better than ever. It's going to be better than ever because God is working. But you know how he works best? When we stay humble before him. Amen. We got to be humble before him. And the best way to stay humble is to pray. The closer to God you get, the more humble you'll be. I promise you that. Because all at once you see how really great he is, and all the time you see how small you are. So we're going to pray. But now we're going to read the scripture. I've had you standing here for a while. Here's what the scripture says. Matthew 16, verse 17. Let's go back a verse or two. When Jesus came, verse 13 says, when he came into the regions of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah the prophet. And still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets at least. But what about you?" He asked, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And on this rock I will build my church. And by the way, the gates of hell will not prevail against it," he said. Amen. Amen. "The gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's my church. I'm building it. And it doesn't make any difference what the devil does. His gates will never prevail against the church. It's here to stay. It's here to grow. It's here to minister. It's here to work the works of Jesus." Amen. "The gates of hell will not prevail against" what church? The church he builds. Now, I wouldn't say that so much about what would happen to the church that man builds, but when he builds a church, it's there to stay. Somebody said it folded up. Should have. Amen. It should have. If it folded up, it wasn't his. If it somehow, if it stopped, it wasn't his. His church, he said, "I'm going to build my church. I will build my church." Let's say that together. "I will build my church." And then down at the bottom of that, Jesus. He said it. He's the one. Now, Lord, we have your word before us now. And I ask you to give us wisdom to expound a little bit on this portion of your word, that all of us may have a firmer grip on what the church really is and what it is intended to accomplish and who and how we fit into it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. And let me tell you, I'm declaring also, I guess I can do that. When you're 75, you can do a lot of things. I'm declaring an open door policy here at the church. The doors are open. None are locked. You're welcome. Amen. You're welcome. This is God's church, and you're His children. And He don't lock doors. He says it's open to you. Just come on in, kids. Come on into my house. Because I want you to have a relationship with me. Jesus said, as we've already mentioned, I will build my church. Let's talk a little bit about how the Lord builds a church. How He does that. Of course, we know that the church is built. It's not this building. It's not these walls and these pillars and these trusses that are going across. This is not the church. This is just the building where the church meets. Amen. And it's good for the church to have a building and meet together. But this is not the church. And by the way, just in case you might not understand, the pastor is not the head of the church. Amen. The church He builds, He doesn't build on any human name. It doesn't matter how popular or how well known. It doesn't matter about that. He's not building a church on names. He said, it's my church. And it's built on His name and on His authority. Amen. It's built by His authority. And through His authority, both direct and delegated in the body. But all of us are members of that body in particular. And He says it's a family. That's what He calls it. It's a family. He's the Father. We're the children. And that being true, no one in the body should feel inferior to anyone else. Right? He says we're all members of the body. And we're all a part of the family of God. He brought us into the family. And we look at it, a lot of times refer to it as a church. But what does the word church actually, what does it actually mean? In the Greek, it's two words, ekklesia. Ekklesia, the called. Or called out ones. Some that have been called out. And I believe that you were called by the Lord to be a part of His body. Do you believe that? Amen. Called by the Lord. You responded to His call. Now, it may have came through the lips of Pastor Parkey or Pastor Roy or Pastor Jeff or whatever pastor. Doesn't matter who the Lord uses. Amen. Amen. But you then do not become a part of that person who called you. You're called to Jesus. Amen. And it doesn't matter what happens to the person that called you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because He is the head of the church. He is the one that is calling people into the body. Hallelujah. And as long as I can keep that focus, it doesn't matter what happens. Oh, I don't say it doesn't matter. But I say one thing, it doesn't cut us off in any way from fellowship with Him. So we're the body of Christ. We're the family of God. We're the fellowship of believers. And He is always the head. Always the head. And we have to keep in touch with the head. The body that's out of touch with the head doesn't function properly. Amen. You probably figured that I'm finally going to get around to prayer because that's just where I head. I don't know of any way to have a relationship with Him apart from ongoing, meaningful communication. If there's some other way, please tell me. I'd like to know how to build a relationship with someone and never say a word. Or say only a few words and them not very meaningful. Just talk about the weather. I mean, it doesn't happen that way. See, I've been seeing Brother Billy here for a long time. You never forget, Walmart would pay him any amount of money to come and just shake hands with people that come in the store. I mean, they just pay him. But I've been seeing his smiling face in this church ever since I think I started coming here, almost from the very beginning. But I can't really say I know Brother Billy that well. You see, we really haven't sat down and eat together and talked about meaningful things, something other than the Rangers. You've got to go deeper than that. You've got to talk about things that make a difference in your life and how you feel and how you think and what you believe and who your wife is and your family and all of this kind of thing becomes a part of the communication that goes on. And as the communication goes on, the relationship is strengthened.
Amen.
Amen. Or diminished. Where humans are concerned, it could be diminished through intimate relationships. Amen. But when the relationship is with Jesus, it'll never be diminished by knowing Him better.
Amen.
Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus was, I'm praying for you, he said, that you will know Him better. I want you to know Him better. And Paul is saying, I'm praying for you that you will know Him better and love Him more. And the better you know Him, the more you're going to love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you want to please Him. And you know to please Him, you can't disregard His will. Amen. You please God by doing the things that please Him. The things that are right and the things that are pleasing in His sight. So, we're a part of His body. He's the head. Amen. And the song said a while ago, we sang, it's all about Him. It's all about really knowing Him. Amen. And loving Him. So I've got to build the relationship. I've got to work on the relationship through prayer. Both, you see, and I think it's primarily private prayer through which we know Him. But see, that's not what we're going to be doing here on Monday morning. This is not a private prayer meeting. This is public, and it's corporate, and there's specific things that we're going to focus on and pray about as a body of believers coming together in agreement. But that's not where you get to know God at an early morning prayer meeting. No, that's not the purpose of the prayer meeting. You get to know God in the closet. Amen. It's in the closet where you have private time with Him. And He's never too busy to listen. You may get too busy to pray, but He's never too busy to listen to you if you'll come into your closet. Amen. You'll find He's already there. Amen. He's there waiting. So we got to have the private time for developing the relationship, and in developing the relationship, we receive revelation, and revelation becomes the foundation of our faith, and then when we come together for prayer, we can unite together and lift up our voices together in prayer, and God is pleased to respond. Because the prayer that is of faith will save the sick.
Amen.
Amen. And the Lord will raise them up. Hallelujah. You're part of the church. He made you a part of it.
Amen.
We look to Him as the leader of the church. Amen. We look to Him as the founder of the church. He founded the church. He said, I will build. And by the way, did you notice it's not plural? He didn't say, I'll build my churches. No. He didn't come to build churches. He came to build just one. He didn't build any more. He built only one church. Just one. And somebody said, well, what's the name of that church? Well, it probably is Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Assemblies of God, Independent. What's a name? A name only is given to so that a place may be identified. It's a means of identifying. I know Brother Billy here. I know that's his name. But there's probably another Billy in this building. But they usually have different last name. And so it's a means of identifying. But the one church Jesus came to build, it's His church. His church. What member, what body are you a member of? His church. Maybe that's what we ought to call it. His church. Amen. But we've got an address and we've got a name, and it doesn't matter about that as long as we can say it's His church. Oh yes, I'm a member of it. I'm a part of it. I claim it. It's my family. I claim all of that. But I understand really that it's His. And He is the one who watches over it. He is the one who has the right to correct situations that develop that should not be quite that way. He is the one that has the right to guide. Amen. Lead. He's the one that does that. Oftentimes does that through people. But the thing that I really believe the Lord wants me to share with this body over the next few weeks at least. I want to keep focused on the church and what is a church, a real church like. Amen. Well, maybe you think, well, I think we're part of that church. Well, I do too. But I'm convinced there's some things that needs tweaking a little bit. Amen? We need to tweak some things here. I believe God is saying, I'd like to do a new thing right here. Amen. And if I can keep in mind that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purposes, or His purpose, not purposes. He only has one purpose. If I can keep that in mind, then I'm always glad to say, it's all right, Lord, whatever. I'm with You. I don't want to be one of those that hears the voice behind him saying, this is the way. You see, you can really outrun God sometimes. You're way out here, and he's made a turn off over here. And you hear this voice behind you, come on back here. We're going this way. Well, we've already got our mind to go this way. Here's the way we're going. And it may look like a good way, and probably is a good way. Everything feels fine. But when you hear that voice behind you saying, this is the way. My dad when I was a kid, I'd just take off and we were walking, because we walked. We didn't have any cars or even horses. We just walked. And sometimes we'd take off somewhere and I'd be headed off. I was just going as we say in Arkansas, lickety-split. I mean, just be going out through there, and Dad, I'd hear him holler. I'd missed it. He was headed in a different direction. I thought he was going one place, and he was going another place. I want to get where I can really hear what he's saying, don't you? Amen. And when he says, this is the way, I want to say, I'm going my way. No, I want to get right back there. Get right on this track. Come on. I want to go just exactly the way he wants to go. And if it's his church, he has a right to call the shots. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, all right, Lord, that's what we're saying. We're saying that wholeheartedly, Lord. You have the right to call the shots. You have the right to replace. And you don't have to explain yourself to anybody. That's right. He's the boss. He don't have to tell me what he's doing. Because I don't really, sometimes I don't know what he's doing. Sometimes I don't want to know. But it doesn't matter. It's his church. We're his people. If he wants to change the order of things, it's his business. And what do I do? Say, amen. Amen. Our business is to say, amen. But I don't understand it. Don't matter. Amen. Why are you going that way, Lord? Don't matter. Amen. Why are you going that way, Lord? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? No, I don't. God doesn't always give us the why answer. He just says, trust me. Can we say that? Trust me. That's it. See, the why indicates a lot of times I'm not really trusting what he's doing. The why says, would you please explain this to me? I got to know here. I need to know. And he's saying, trust me, son. Trust me, my child. Trust me. Trust me. But Lord, I don't feel real good about this. Trust me, son. Trust me, daughter. Just trust me. Because I'm leading you the right way. And though you may not understand all of this right at this point, you will understand it better by and by. And if you don't, it won't matter as long as you've got your eyes on me. Amen. As long as you can say, Father, I totally trust you. You're the leader. Jesus, you're the head of the church. And I trust you to build it the way it needs to be built. And if you want to make adjustments, that's your business. And I trust you to do the right thing. Can you say that? Lord, I trust you. Now say it from your heart. Say it right up to him. Lord, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I don't always understand, but I trust you. You don't have to explain yourself, Lord. I trust you. I know that it's going to be all right. I can see heads going like, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be all right. I don't fully understand it, but it's going to be all right. Amen. Because it's his church. Can there be any doubt about that? This is his church. This is his church. And he'll never forsake it. He didn't begin a work without any thought of finishing it. Amen. No. He said, I'll finish my work. I'll complete it. It'll be done. Hallelujah. And when it's finally done, there'll be a trumpet call from somewhere out there. And we'll all get it. And then we can say, it's finished! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! His work with the church is finished now. We can just rejoice with Him and one another throughout eternity. Now, if it is a body, and it is a family. It's a family. That's what the church is called. It is called the family of God. And you know, I've traveled over a lot of the world over the past 20 years, 25 years. I guess I better quit saying 20, because eventually it's 25. But I've traveled in a lot of parts of the world, and have seen God's people out there. But I tell you what excites me most is when I go and begin to think about it, Brother Billy. I start thinking about these are my family.
Amen.
This is a part of my family I've never met. I don't know their name. See, Wilhites are all related in this country. They all came from three brothers that came from Germany in 1703. They got sort of separated and went their different ways, but they're all offspring of those three brothers who was the offspring of one father. Amen. So all of us are related. I don't know very many of them. I just know my little part of the family. But when I talk to one, when I find one, and he knows anything about his family history, he always says, well, we go back through to three brothers that came from Germany. Well, we're related then. I don't know the names of many of my brothers and my sisters in this body, but we're family. And I don't want any of us to feel that we're a part of the family that God is ashamed of. Amen. And we ought to recognize one another. And we have two basic commandments. That is, love God and love one another. I don't think this is supposed to go much further than where I am right now. But I think I'll stop here in just a moment. But I really feel the Lord told me earlier, or impressed me. We use that word, God said, God told, that many times it's not that you hear anything. It's just somewhere inside you feel something real strong. And sometimes you say, God said. Well, if you really pin a guy down, he'll usually say, well, I don't know if he said, but somehow I felt that real strong, and I believe it was God. So that's what I'm going to say to you right now. I believe we ought to look at each other and see each other as brothers and sisters. Amen. Really see each other as brothers and sisters. And I think we ought to have an old-fashioned love feast. Have you ever heard of that one? Where people just said, brother, I love you, and everything's going to be all right. Sister, I love you. You're my sister. I would never take advantage of you in any way because you're my family. And there's no big I and little you in the family of God. No, no. No, no. We humbly walk with Him. And we don't look down on anyone. Hallelujah. We look up to Jesus. The rest of us are on the same level. Amen. And we all look up to Him.